Oscar fans, the clock is ticking. If you haven't already, you've got about 48 hours to binge-watch all 8 Best Picture nominees before the Academy Awards on Sunday night. If you don't have the time, here they are in about 30 seconds.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
They knew, and they let it happen! 2 kids!
There was a guy, he pretended that his dog was sick.
What guy?
Old Nick.
I gotta figure out a way to grow 3 years worth of food here. On a planet where nothing grows.
I'm not Irish.
You don't sound Irish.
The proper thing to do would be to finish him off quick.
I'm an insurance lawyer. I haven't done criminal work in years.
It's like riding a bike, isn't it?
You hate Wall Street, but maybe it's time to quit.
I love my job.
You hate your job.
I love my job.
And these are the films that will be front and center for the 88th Oscars ceremony. But there's already been a ton of talk about what you won't see on stage. Now, joining me now is NPR's movie critic Bob Mondello. Hey there, Bob.
Good to be here.
And host of the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast, Linda Holmes. Welcome to the studio.
Hey, Adi.
Okay, I want to start with the big discussion that was happening leading into this, which is the criticism of there being not a single nominee of color in the acting categories. What are we going to see on stage this weekend? How will this be discussed?
Well, mostly you're going to see Chris Rock. I'm guessing that if anybody can talk to the people in the room, he's the guy, because those people are the ones who can actually change Hollywood. But he's also going to be talking to the wider public, and he's wonderful at that.
And of course, there are the nominees. And Bob, last year, when I look at all the Best Picture nominees, like when these films were being released and you were giving them B pluses.
That's true.
I
have tried so hard to get excited about this year. And last night I found a way. I was watching the presidential debates and it suddenly registered that if you're talking about anger at bankers, there's The Big Short. If you're talking about immigration, there is Brooklyn. If you're talking about drones and Russia, you've got Bridge of Spies. And protecting children, you've got Room, and you've got Spotlight. For science and the environment, you've got The Martian. And if you just want to shout at each other, as political people tend to do, you have Mad Max and The Revenant. That is the way that I'm seeing all of this this year. That's the only way I can make sense of this group of nominees, really.
And Linda?
I actually have a couple in this group that I really love.
Oh, good.
I really love Brooklyn. It's a very sweet, and sweet can sound like a soft, almost insulting word, but it's a very humane and kind story and a very complicated love story, which you don't always get in Oscar-nominated movies. And I also really love The Martian, which Bob and I saw in Toronto all the way back in September and really, really enjoyed. It's from a book that I love. Mad Max is a spectacular-looking movie, brilliantly directed. I think there's actually a lot to be excited about in several of these movies. Spotlight's very good as well.
I'm being unfair, and I'm aware of that.
And Bob, you and I were saying that these are movies, for once, that a bunch of us may have actually seen.
Well, yeah, it's kind of nice that Mad Max and The Martian and The Revenant are all enormous hits. All 3 of them have made more than $150 million, putting them definitely in blockbuster category. And that's not usual for Oscar. They tend to go with the class stuff that comes out at the very end of the year. I would like to argue that Mad Max is the classiest movie of the year.
I want to get to the performances and the acting nominations. People are, of course, talking about Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant. Any other, I guess, maybe dark horses, surprises, or is he just the one to beat?
It's going to be hard to beat him. I think he's getting it for the wrong reasons, kind of. It's like a degree of difficulty thing. He ate bison liver and he doused himself in cold water. But he's a terrific actor, and he was going to get it eventually, and so they've decided now is the time, I guess.
It's a lot of grunting.
Yeah, it's true.
That's where the bar is.
A lot of grunting.
I feel like the big picture nominees are the movies we actually saw, and the performance nominations are in movies that a lot of us did not see.
That actually happens a lot. I was looking through the last couple of years. If you just look at last year, the acting awards tend to go to prestige performances. So last year we were talking about Best Actor for Foxcatcher and The Imitation Game, Best Actress for Still Alice, and a French film called 2 Days, 1 Night. It is traditional, I think, for acting nominees to not necessarily be for the big pictures.
And are you guys going to be like live tweeting this or something where we can follow along?
Totally.
Yes, we are. We're going to be live tweeting, and the hashtag is NPR Oscars. And I'll be live tweeting. I'm at NPR Monkey C. Bob is at Bob_Mondello. And we'll also be tweeting with Stephen Thompson, who's at I Dislike Stephen, and Glenn Weldon, who's at GH Weldon. Those are all my pals from my show, as you know.
You just rattled off some social media.
I do this every week, lady. You know that.
That's Linda Holmes of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour and our blogger on the same subject. And Bob Mondello, NPR's film critic. Thanks so much.
It was great.
Thanks, Adi.